You are listening to TF Talk News, part of the TF Talk network of podcasts and live streams, where we give you the most relevant current stories in your fandom and more, all within 30 quick minutes or less. I'm your host, Mr. Starscream, and I'll be your guide to everything worth talking about that transformed since last episode.
It's your old buddy, Starscream.
I am the new leader of the Decepticons. From now on, you will take orders from me.
Discover more of our great shows at tftalk.net and follow us on social media channels at TFYLP. Welcome to another fun-filled episode of TF Talk News. This episode is important because it marks our 20th episode in the 20th year of our good Lord Primus. This episode is significant for the fact that it will close out Season 1 of TF Talk News, and to celebrate this, I've finally found the time to put together my special interview with creator Switcraft, who is the one behind that peculiar Transformers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover that you might have seen online a month or two ago. We also received a bit of listener email, which I will read in full now.
Dear Mr. Starscream, why do you suck? From Phil Swish. P.S. Is there a Mrs. Starscream? P.P.S. Did you know you should search in all categories when hunting for toys on eBay?
Thanks for writing in, Phil Swish. Is there a Mrs. Starscream? Well, no. Not yet, anyway. I've given love a shot a few times with differing pretender shells, but all of my Tinder matches keep saying I look nothing like my photo when I show up for dinner. I'm sure there's someone out there for me. And you know what they say, there's a lot of Sharktacons in the Quintesson pit, whether guilty or innocent. As far as searching on eBay, I mean, any dumbo rummaging through eBay for a few years knows that limiting your search categories to just toys and hobbies means you won't see any mislabeled listings put up by uninformed sellers. And that, my friends, is where the sweetest fruit grows. And as far as sucking, the only thing I know how to suck is copious amounts of air into my jet engines, which is where you'll be going as soon as I fly over to your house at Avenue. Thanks for the message. And if you want to have your own messages read on the air, be sure to email the show at tftalknews@tftalk.net. But it might be a while until we air new episodes for Season 2. The interview is coming up next and will be the majority of this episode, but that's not all. Be sure to stick around afterward to hear a brand new song premiere from our musical friend and contributor, Surrender, who has shared with us an amazing new track that you can expect to hear featured heavily in Season 2 of TF Talk News. You can check out all their awesome electronic tunes at surrender-official.bandcamp.com. And so now I present Stephen Whitmock, who is the mastermind behind a lot of incredible Transformers custom toys you may have seen cross your screen in the past year or so. Switcraft, as he likes to be called professionally, took some time to sit down with me, Mr. Starscream, to see just what it takes to become a revered Transformers customizer. I'm here with Steve Whitmock, and we are going to talk about his creative endeavors as far as creating art and customs. Welcome to TF Talk News, Steve.
Thanks for having me. Hello, hello.
You know, I get a lot of tips for news, and, you know, they come in through various channels, but I cannot tell you how many times in the past week I was sent this logo for a new crossover with Transformers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I just kept banging my head against the wall because I knew that it wasn't made by Hasbro, it was made by you. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, I put that together as a little teaser. And I did not realize that it would go where it went.
Well, it did look very convincing. And, you know, there's been a lot of rumors and leaks recently and even official reveals regarding the crossover series. And so somehow you were able to really capture the vibe of that branding and you made it look very legitimate. So you fooled a lot of people. But what was it for?
So I've been doing customs for about a year. This month, June's kind of my anniversary month. And long story short, I did a Donatello mashup custom. Given my background with mashups, with toys, I've been doing a lot of pop culture stuff. So I did a Donnie back in April, and I've been hounded for like 2 months to do the rest of them. And so I was like, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it upright. So did them. I did the logo, you know, the whole nine. So it was just for that.
Since this is an audio podcast, what exactly was the custom? This was a custom Transformer you made, right? When you say Donnie, you mean Donatello.
Yeah. I did a custom Donatello out of a Combiner Wars Rook figure because it had that nice backpack that looked very shell-like, or he's very shell-former looking. The original one was just a Donatello out of a Rook.
So yeah, you made a Donatello Combiner figure, but I think you had more coming down the pipes, and that is what this crossover is for. And like I said, lots of people have seen this, and it's made a lot of waves. So what is your background that allowed you to like market your customs in this way that everyone thought it was legit?
Well, I came from a background in doing t-shirt designs for T-Fury, for Ripped, for Shirt Punch. And to be honest, I loved doing them. I loved the mashup kind of concept of it. I'm a big pop culture fan, but I was getting burnt out just doing them. But I do marketing for a living. So I always joke and say those who can't do market. So, you know, I've only been doing this for a year, but I have got the design chops to mock up a logo, no problem. And I figured if I'm going to present this thing, you know, I'm going to do it right.
So you said you kind of cut your teeth on design. You're clearly an artist. What was it like to transfer that 2D art form into the world of customs and painting and doing stuff with your hands? Because you said you've only been doing it for a year. Like, how did you get into this?
Well, not to shameless plug, Shapeways was a big help. I stumbled across someone doing an upgrade on the old Generations Nightbeat with the neck adapter to throw the Titan Return head on there. So I did that. And then we got the Titan Return Road Rash, and we got a custom Cliff Jumper head and put that on. And then from there, I saw someone do kind of a Power Rangers style arc with a Carrier Zord. And I was like, I can take stuff apart and spray paint it. It can't be that hard. I went to Walmart, picked up some paint, took stuff apart, and spray painted it. And that's kind of, you know, where I started. It's not hard to get into. There's so much to learn and so many layers. But I think it's the immediate gratification you get that you don't get in digital design. You know, you work your ass off on this design. You think it's the coolest thing ever for a t-shirt. And then it doesn't get picked up, or it gets picked up and doesn't sell very much, or no one gets it, no one sees it. But the communities are very similar, but very different also. Over the last year, I have met more amazing people. It's like this subsect of the Transformers, you know, community and the pop culture community that aren't, you know, not to put a negative skew on it, but the toxicity you find in the Transformers community with the different, you know, generations of fans, or even the Ninja Turtles community, this subsect is... it's nothing but helpful. They're great. They're supportive. And it's just like the community, I think, honestly, is what drives me forward with it.
Yeah, it's got to be very different than the shirt community, because that whole system is sort of based around sales numbers, and it's kind of based on cash, you know, quite a bit. But this is more like a labor of love, I would think, because you're not churning out hundreds of customs. You're kind of doing it for yourself and to share with the community, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and I mean, and you kind of hit it right on the nose, the money aspect for the shirt, you know, side. I can't tell you how many artists I've run into that I've done a design similar to theirs without seeing their design. And it's very kind of like attack mode. You know, I did that design, you know, your design's like my design. Whereas the custom community, it's like, oh, you did something kind of like I did something. Well, how do we do it different? You know, oh, I never thought of doing it that way. Or have you tried doing it this way? You know, like I said, my first dip in was I saw someone do an arc and I was like, oh, I can do that. And so I did an arc as well. I thought I could do it better. And so I kind of did, because I noticed they didn't take it apart, and I did, which is a whole nother story. But it's, you know, trial by fire aside, the community is, yeah, it's not money driven. It's very individualized, and it's okay to do something someone else has done. It's, you know, it's inspirational. Everything's inspirational.
It sounds like competitive is the word you would use for the shirt industry, and collaborative is more of the word for the customizing industry. If it's an industry.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, even as a high-end hobby, that's a good way to delineate the two. But I also think out of those, you know, one word, you know, sound bites, competitive brings, you know, stress, tension, you know, but collaborate, you know, it's the entire flip side, you know, it's just, I feel better about myself doing customs.
That's good to hear. I wanted to ask about your process, because you mentioned, you know, taking apart a figure, and the first time you just decided, hey, I'm going to go get spray paint. Is that still the way you operate a year into making, you know, high-end customs, or have you modified your process at all?
I would say it's case by case right now. The turtle one's a good example. People are like, well, you know, they're all rooks. You know, they should be an alt mode that fits their personality. So for the turtles, the robot mode was very important to me because I wanted that backpack look. But for other things, like I'm planning on doing a turtle van, you know, that alt mode is incredibly important to me to look right. I did a Mystery Machine custom called Meddler, and the best closest thing I could fit to the Mystery Machine was like a Masterpiece Ironhide. And so that's what I ended up, you know, I got a KO knockoff one for $40, but it's still a Masterpiece size, you know, but I think really whatever you build it out of, it's what the focus is going to be. You know, it's pick a focus and then build from that.
I would say that the customizing community is a great argument for the existence of KO product, because you get to create something you want out of something that is pre-existing for a lot cheaper. Speaking of that Mystery Machine, because that is where I first came across your customizing work. Would you mind touching on that a little bit? Because I believe that made the rounds, if you will.
Yeah, that, funny enough, was my first, you know, foray into something kind of picking up on social and like on Reddit. Outside of the whole custom thing, I jumped into a lot of social media platforms that I've never been in before. I was never Twitter user or Imgur or message board or Reddit user at all. I had them. I had accounts. They were pretty much inactive. And, you know, with my marketing background, you got to go where the people were. And to get back to the Mystery Machine, yeah, I was like, I'd still probably sit in 500 or 600 on Reddit, you know, upvotes. And so that was the first time where I did a mashup where everybody was like, oh, holy crap, you know, they should make this. So, and a lot of my mashups come from my own childhood. You know, I'm 43 tomorrow. So it's, you know,
well,
it's
the happy birthday.
Why, thank you.
Yeah, I would say a lot of customizers do some really great work, but the thing that really caught my eye is the marketing side of it. You really present your figures in a way that other people may not, where you take a little bit more care to what's in the background or if there's a setting, something relevant to the figure that you're showing off. And I think people really responded to that because it's not something they're used to. So a lot of times you see a custom and it's just like on someone's work desk or on a pile of paper or something, like, look at this cool thing that I made. And yes, it was cool, but the presentation could be better. And so I would say that is really a strong suit for what you're doing. Let's move on to your current project, which let's just call it the Ninja Turtles Combiner Crossover, unless you have a specific name.
No, I've been putting this TMNT X, you know, Transformers custom. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, if for those of you that have not seen it, it is a full-on Combiner Wars team of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. All four of the turtles are Rook. I believe the center body is Casey Jones.
Yep.
And there's also an April.
Yeah, I have an April. Absolutely. Well, you got to have somebody reporting the news, you know?
Yes, you do. So I believe all four of the turtles have their own color. They're not just the same exact turtle green hue. Each one has their own unique spin. How long did this project take? How have you felt about the response? Have people asked you for their own set of these Ninja Turtle toys?
You know, I, funnily enough, on that last question, I put you know, I'm not really open for commissions because I'm, you know, but I literally on my Twitter put commissions closed on my handle.
Marketing.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, it's you look better having commissions closed. And I'm up for commissions, just right now I've got 25 pieces in the queue that I got to work on. As far as the turtles go, I'm a classic Turtles fan, you know, but I also really, really like the later series that they came out with. You know, not the Rise of the TMT that just came out, but the previous series, I got into it late with my son. But I really liked that they pushed those kind of arcade colors, original toy colors, you know, for all the turtles, you know, they were all different hues. I'm a big Donatello fan, so I used kind of a, you know, camo color because that's the darkest green I could get, you know, that still kind of worked for it. But yeah, I wanted to kind of match. I pulled up some pixel, you know, art of the character select for the arcade. And I was like, there's my color palette that I want to kind of get close to for everybody. I did Donnie in April, and then I kind of let it sit for the, you know, April and May. But as I was coming up on the year, I had a lot of people asking about me doing more turtles. The biggest thing that kept me from doing this was honestly finding the heads, the right heads. Thank you, Shapeways. And finding Rooks. Rook is not easy to find. And I kind of cap myself on how much I'm willing to spend on a piece to do a custom. Honestly, I've been waiting. Like, I waited on it until I had all the Rooks because I wasn't going to do it unless I could get three more Rooks. And then I had to figure out what kind of core body do I want to go with? And is it going to be Splinter? Is it going to be Casey Jones? You know, is it going to be Metalhead? You know, what's going to work for that for alt mode and everything else? So a lot of it was just waiting for all the pieces to be delivered and mailed to me. The weapons were from the prize inside from Trent Troop. They're all Nightbird weapons. And he happened to do weapons for, like, he's got swords and nunchucks and size. And then he's got a 5mm peg extender that works as bow staffs. I just clicked a bunch together to make a staff. So a lot of it was just ordering stuff and waiting for it to come in once I had the math figured out.
So how long did this take? Like, how many hours did you put into this project? Just so, like, anyone that wants to do customizing, just so they know what kind of endeavor they're getting into.
I'm not much for hours because I'm full-time, you know, worker and dad. So my time is, like, chipped away here at nights and weekends. But as far as, like, just putting them together, I would say you can do it in a week. You can do the whole thing in a week in your free time.
So that's six figures. One Voyager, five Deluxes in a week.
Yeah. Now keep in mind, you can kind of assembly line Rooks. So you're like, you know, pin pop this one. Okay, that's the side that has the rough end on the pin. Good. I can do that for the other three. So I kind of assembly line the turtles. And to be honest, Casey Jones is made out of an Onslaught. This is like my third Onslaught. So it's a week for me because I've taken apart most of these before. So I know how to do it. Like, without having to worry about, like, let's make a map where the pins and the screws go. You know, I just throw them in a bucket. And I'm like, I eyeball the, you know, pins and go, yeah, this is as long as this slot goes, and just pound them back in. But yeah, I mean, a week, if you've got all the supplies in front of you, you can paint them. Because it's like, you know, I painted all of them at the same time. Outside of Donnie, I painted all three at the same time. I was like, your chests are all yellow here, you know. I got to prime all the elbow pieces, then I hand paint the elbow pieces, so I have different colors for those. So assembly line is like this. If I was doing like six different characters, totally longer. But the fact that four of them was more or less the same with a similar palette, not as bad.
This is about as specific I'll get on customizing questions, but what kind of paint are you using, and do you prime everything, or is it on a part by part, toy by toy basis? Or is that part of your secret sauce and you can't divulge it?
No, my secret sauce is I feel like someone's like, what is this wonderful meal from? You made it yourself? And you're like, no, I just plated some Taco Bell. You know, my paint, it's been a year, but my paints are all like Krylon. And, you know, I've been using Rust-Oleum a lot, and it's the 2X that has the primer built in. So I did get some of those, what are they, Valero paints? Like, they're specialty paints. So I do have an airbrush kit. I got it for Christmas. My wife was awesome to buy it for me. It's like, do customs or learn airbrushing. And I have been doing customs instead of learning airbrushing. So I plan on leveling up. I haven't. So I do have, if for anybody who does customs out there and they're cringing, you can do this with Walmart paint. But there's nothing wrong with leveling up. My son wants a Jurassic Park, you know, the Blazer from the first one, you know, little SUVs from the first one. And I'm like, we need to airbrush that because it's got a crazy design on it. But mostly it's just 2X primer paint, you know, and oil-based paint markers out of the craft section at Walmart. Like, that's it. I mean, as far as priming go, I was priming everything and then painting on top of it, but I'm finding some paints react very poorly. My Army of Darkness one, I primed the whole thing. The paint I used for the detail on the outside, it ate all the primer out from under it and then just rubbed off. So for things like the turtle's elbows, I primed them because I wanted to be able to use it. You want to prime before you use paint marker on something. But outside of priming for paint marker, if you're just painting it and you have the color, I now just full-blown paint it.
Well, there you have it. From someone that's really making waves in the customizing world, I guess if I could sum it up, I would say your advice is to level up at your own pace.
Yeah, and that's the best thing about it is leveling up at your own pace, you know? I got into a little bit of this painting stuff because I do ghost busting. So I was like, you know, buying equipment for that and, you know, doing...
You mean like cosplay ghost busting, right?
I mean like franchises and we do like charity event ghost busting. So kind of, but not for conventions and more for like helping the community out kind of thing.
Almost like the 501st Legion.
Yeah, but not as much
for
drama.
Star Wars.
Exactly.
Great.
Drama's a nice way to put it. But yeah, I started... same way, you know, just slowly piecing stuff together and upgrading it and doing customs. I got into customs the same way. You know, I've got a soldering iron kit I got to learn how to use too, because I eventually want to level up again and learn how to do like LED lights inside of these things.
Wow. Very cool. Well, I don't know what the future holds for you, but things are looking good, I would say. I mean, but your turtles probably are feeling a little lonely without some Foot Clan to fight with.
Yeah, someone mentioned that, and I was like, if you can find me some Viacons from Transformers Prime, I would love to turn the Viacons into foot soldiers. I think that's a good mixed fit, you know, for it.
Well, maybe I can get you in touch with our resident Rick Alvarez, who opened 100 of those on screen just last week, so...
Oh, yeah. Send me a few over. I'll have to figure out a shredder.
I'll get you guys connected. So, Steven, give me... How can people find you? Like, what are your social channels that people can follow you and your cool creations on?
My craft stuff's all under Switcraft. So it's just SWITTCRAFT, which you can, you know, Google or find me under Twitter, Instagram or Facebook under that. Imgur is the same way. So I'm kind of across the board on all those.
All right, very cool. Thank you for your time, and can't wait to see what you come up with next.
Thank you.
I want to thank Switcraft for sitting down with TF Talk News and shining a light on the world of customizing. As for the other regular segments of our show, there's a few quick on-the-shelf items. Cyberverse Ultimate Class Iaconus has been found on shelf at Meijer stores in the USA. And the latest wave of Earthrise Micromasters featuring the Racetrack, Patrol, and Astro Squad is finally showing up at Target stores. Whoop-dee-doo! You're gonna have to do your own toy hunting going forward, though, because I'm taking a much-needed break. And before we end this episode, I promised you a new track from our resident musical artist, Surrender. If you're from the UK or have ever binge-watched the 80s Tripods TV show, then this tune will hit you right in your trip-hop feels. I present the Tripods. this song. It really gets my Energon pumping. Well, that's it for TF Talk News Season 1. I want to thank the entire staff of the TF Talk Network. Lucas, Anna, Rick, Rob, Christian, Swift, Sean, Jack, Duran, Serge, and all the rest. Special thanks for Surrender, for giving us all these sick tunes. And to all the listeners, thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you in Season 2. The TF Talk Network exists due to the efforts of an enthusiastic collection of Transformers fans across North America and beyond. Check out our variety of shows like Microcasters, Ouch My Wallet, Cut the Tape, and our flagship show featuring a rotating all-star cast, TFYLP, which has been running for over 10 years. The cast at the TF Talk Network is always growing, so if you have a desire to participate, reach out to us via any of our social platforms at TFYLP. The TF Talk cast is on Discord. You can join us for free by typing bit.ly/TF Talk Discord in the browser of your choice. Intro and outro score provided by Surrender. You can find Surrender at surrender-official.bandcamp.com. Directly support our shows and keep us on the air by becoming a monetary supporter of TFYLP on Patreon. Donations through Patreon are used to cover production and server expenses that keep our shows running and are not distributed to individual staff members. If you have any comments or feedback, you can directly email the show at tftalknews@tftalk.net, and we'd love to read some of your comments on the air. And if you've got a hot news tip, send it my way! Woo, 20 episodes. 20 episodes a season, huh? So that means if I do a season 2, I gotta do 20 more? Man, maybe I'll just say f*** it and do it live. What do you think, Serge?
Don't be snoozing.